announcement concerning Tuesday night, I have requested, and it was granted, that the youth choir will sing, but I am appealing to all who are identified with this meeting in any way, please try to come on Tuesday night. As was announced, this will be my last message for this time, and I trust that you will be able to make it out. You pray about that, and I'll be looking for you Tuesday night. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And verse 27, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, let me pause to say that Hebron, just a little south of Jerusalem, about 40 miles, was one of the cities of refuge. When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Verse 33. And the king, David in this case, the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falleth before wicked men. So fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. Let's go to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, to a verse that many, quite possibly, all in six. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that is a generic word, no one of mankind, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one of mankind comes to the Father but by me. Now for any human being to make such a statement would be arrogant assumption. But that was not the case with Jesus, because he is the God-man. And such a declaration as he made in John 14 and 6 is a declaration to deity. Peter said, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And this triad is a manifestation of His all-sufficiency. We human beings have a threefold need. We are lost, and we need the way. We are ignorant and in error. We need the truth. And we are dead spiritually. We need life. And the Lord Jesus Christ meets all of these needs. As has been expressed by one writer, as the way, He offers to me the privilege of direct, unfettered access to the great invisible God. He leads me into the presence of the Holy One and teaches me to call Him Father. Christ is the way. As the truth, He brings God down so near to me that I can hear His voice. I can feel His touch, giving me a knowledge of the Father that disarms fear and inspires trustful love. Christ is the truth. As the life, He clothes my sinful helplessness with the power to become a son, a child of God, and gives me fellowship with Himself. Now, as the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is the priest. As the truth, He is the prophet. And as the life, He is the king. Those of you in this audience tonight who have not by faith received Christ as your Savior, know this. Much prayer has gone up for you this night, and is going up for you right now. Some of you have heard the gospel message. You've had the invitation extended to you many, many times. And you are very privileged indeed that God has offered you His way of salvation so many times. We would think, in our reasoning, it's not fair that anyone should hear the way of salvation two or three times when so many in this world have not heard it at all. And so you are privileged indeed. And yet this is another opportunity given to you whereby the Lord Jesus Christ is pleading with you to come to Him and be saved. We don't know what is keeping you from coming to Christ. Some of you perhaps have been struggling with this matter for some time. The Bible says, whoso calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. And as the way, I think of Him as the priest. Some of you have... Excuse me. Some of you have had the privilege of being under the sound of the Word of God for many years. You know the Bible stories, and I dare say that there's not any portion of Scripture that a preacher can preach on that you would not have some understanding about it. When the Jewish people went into the land of Canaan, 2.5 tribes wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. in that area that we know today as the country of Jordan. 2.5 tribes wanted to stay on the eastern side. The others went into the land. When the land was divided among the tribes, no portion of land was given to the tribe of Levi, as was the case with the other sons of Judah. When I say no land was given to the tribe of Levi, I must qualify that. 48 cities, either on the western side of the Jordan River or on the eastern side, 10 on the eastern side and 38 on the western side of the river, 48 cities in all were designated as Levitical cities. They were priestly cities because the tribe of Levi was not given part of the land as an inheritance. And so these 48 cities were cities over which the priests had control and where they lived. They were priestly cities. Now, in addition to that, God gave instructions that there would be 6 cities known as cities of refuge. Since there were 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan, God designated 3 cities on the eastern side and 3 cities on the western side as cities of refuge. And they were strategically positioned so that a Jew anywhere on either side of the Jordan River would not have any difficulty, nor would have to travel a great distance to get to any one of those cities of refuge. That is, on the western side in the land of Canaan, there was one city to the north, one city to the south, and one city in between. The same was the case on the eastern side. One city to the north, one city to the south, and one in between. So these cities were strategically positioned so that there was no great distance to any one of these cities of refuge. Now, why were they cities of refuge? I'm going to give you some scripture references because I know this is being taped. Some of you keep notes. And I know it's sometime annoying when you listen to a tape and comments are made without any scripture references given. It calls for some homework. But I'll just throw up some scripture references. Exodus 21. Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 4, and particularly Deuteronomy 19, Joshua chapter 20. Now, if you forget most of those, just remember Numbers 35 and Joshua chapter 20. And you'll read about the cities of refuge. Why were they called that? God said, when a person put another person to death, by accident, of course, when a person put another person to death, maybe they are working out in the field using their implements for farming, an implement flies out of the hand of a person, hits another person, kills that person. The person out of whose hand that implement left was to flee to one of the cities of refuge. He would be accepted there. And then the elders of that city would have a trial and determine whether or not that person was guilty of premeditated murder or whether indeed it was accidental death. If it were premeditated murder, if it were determined to be premeditated murder, that person would be put to death. You see, the cities of refuge were not for the guilty. Keep that in mind. They were not for the guilty. Scripture says, the manslayer who killed someone unwittingly. It was an accident. The person is not guilty of premeditated murder. The person is innocent of such a charge. It was an accident. And so when it was determined that this person is righteous, that person would remain in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest. And that person was safe in that city of refuge. Going back to 2 Samuel chapter 3, Abner had killed the brother of Joab and Abishai. And Abner had pleaded with him not to come after him. I believe from what we have in Scripture that Abner would have been proclaimed innocent. Some might contest that statement, but at any rate, Abner killed the brother of Joab and Abishai. And we read about Abner being at Hebron, one of those cities of refuge. And these brothers called him aside in the gate. And Joab killed Abner by thrusting under his rib, the fifth rib, that sword. And the king said, "Died as a fool dieth, Abner? Your feet were not chained." As if to say, you were right there at the city of refuge. All you had to do was to step inside the gate. You died as a fool. Now, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, in thinking of his statement, I cannot help but think, I always think, of the cities of refuge when I hear that statement of the Lord Jesus or when I read it for myself. Keep in mind, those six cities of refuge were appointed by God. And in thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, here is God's anointed one. He was sent from God to be the refuge. God said, "This is my beloved Son, my well-beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight." The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And the Bible speaks of Christ dying for our sins, being buried, being raised from the dead, that he might be the refuge for all who flee to him. He was appointed by God. And those six cities of refuge provided shelter from the avenger of blood. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith receive him as your Savior, God says there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. And when you examine these scriptures, speaking about the cities of refuge, you will find that each city was placed on an eminence. That is, it was on a hill so that it could be easily seen some distance away. easily sinned. The Lord Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Now, he did not mean I will draw all men without exception. He died for all men. He desires that all men be saved. But when he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me, that is, without distinction, whosoever will may come. And all roads leading to these cities of refuge were clearly marked. Were clearly marked. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Most of those are one-syllable words. You talk about easily understood. You talk about making it clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. John said, and here are all one-syllable words, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's clear enough, isn't it? And how many times have you heard the gospel message? How many times has it been made so plain to you? And yet you still go out without Christ. The roads to the cities were clearly marked. And easy access. God gave specific instructions that there were to be no obstructions to any one of the cities of refuge. Keep the way open so that anyone fleeing for refuge will not have any difficulty getting there. And once the person got to that city of refuge, that person would be received into that city until the trial. And once it was determined that the person was innocent, the person was righteous, the person was justified, that person would remain there until the death of the high priest. Now, Christ is the way of reconciliation. He's available to everyone, everywhere, irrespective of class or clan or case or color. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. The Lord Jesus is the only way. Not a way, he is the only way. And Christ is the way right now, available, accessible to all. There is no reason, apart from your own stubborn will, there is no reason why you cannot be saved eternally tonight. No reason. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the way everlasting. You know, the writer of the book of Hebrews surely had the cities of refuge in mind when he wrote that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, and note, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Listen, when one fled to the city of refuge, he stayed there, he was safe, until the death of the high priest. When does our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, die? You said, well, he lives forevermore. That's how long we're safe in Christ. The Lord Jesus is the way out of a guilty past. My friend, regardless of what you have done in your sinful life, regardless of what you have done, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You might say, well, wait a minute now, preacher. Now, you're getting things a little confused in my thinking here. You said the city of refuge was for those who were righteous, for those who are justified, not for the guilty. That's right. And yet you're telling me to flee to Christ. I am guilty. There are so many things in my memory. I wished I could cleanse my memory of all of these things of which I'm guilty. My dear friend, this is the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you flee to Christ, He reckons over to your account His death for sin. And you are declared righteous in Christ. And because you're declared righteous, you're justified. And the work of righteousness is peace. And by fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have peace with God through Christ. And you're eternally saved. You are saved as long as your high priest is saved or is alive. So the Lord Jesus is the way out of a guilty past. The Lord Jesus is the way through a troublesome present. We've been studying Job. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We read in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. There are so many difficulties in life. What a difference. What a difference to walk in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference walking in the blessed assurance that He will never leave me nor forsake me. What a difference to know that because I have fled to Christ for refuge, I have a home in heaven, an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved for me, and I am kept by the power of God until I get there. Christ is the way from a guilty past. He is the way through the troublesome present. Christ is the way up to the Father in prayer and worship. You read a portion like Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, that means with full confidence, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord Jesus is the way out of a guilty past. He's the way through the troublesome present. And He is the way continually up to the Father in prayer and worship. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are accepted in the Beloved. And Jesus is the way into heaven and into the inheritance. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No man comes unto the Father but by me. My friend, I've asked this before. What is keeping you from calling upon Christ to be your Savior? Is it the thought that you don't like hypocrites and you're refraining from professing Christ as Savior for fear that you too will be a hypocrite? Dear friend, if that's your problem, don't worry about that. You just come to Christ as you are. He will not leave you as you are. He will transform you. And then you show these hypocrites whom you don't like the Christian life that you're going to live. God will give you the power to do that. But what is keeping you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Abner was right there at the gate of that city of refuge. I presume just a step or two, and Joab could not have touched him. He was in the city. Now, of course, this does not convey in any way that we can lose our salvation, mind you. But Abner was right there at the gate. And the king said, "Died as a fool dieth Abner?" And my friend, you have been right at the door of salvation time and time again. And are you going to die as a fool without Christ? I trust not. There came to that heavenly city where joy and bliss awaits. There came an earthly pilgrim to the keeper of the gates. Then there rang a searching question from the keeper loud and clear. "Say, have you a reason, pilgrim, that you should enter here? I come in the merits of Jesus," was all that he replied. The pearly gate swung open. They welcomed him inside. "Someday when my journey is ended, I'll leave for that better land. When I've fought the final battle and on heaven's shore I stand, as I view that golden city and long its joys to share, I will have my answer ready so I can enter there. I come in the merits of Jesus, who for sinners bled and died. For me the gates will open, they'll welcome me inside. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. He is the only way. He is the way right now, and He is the way everlasting. When you, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you call upon Him for salvation, He will save you, and you will be saved eternally." Let's turn in the Redemption Song Book to number 196. 196. As we have said before, and perhaps as you know, there will be those over at the office. You don't have to go over there to talk to anyone. It's between you and the Lord. You can just, right where you are, say, "Lord, save me. As best I know how, on the authority of your word and on the basis of the testimony given, right now, I here and now receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior." That sounds almost too simple, doesn't it? But that's what you need to do. And when you do that, he'll save you. You take him at his word. Take him at his word. But we're going to stand and sing 196. And dear friend, why not settle this matter tonight? Why not slip out of your seat, go over to the office? Or if you don't go over there and you call upon Christ right where you are, please let us know. We just want to get in on some of the rejoicing, mind you. Let's stand and sing 196.